Here shall we pray. Heavenly Father, again, we want to ask you to help us in this hour, Lord, of our studies, that we might say those things, Lord, or teach those things that are absolutely true and correct according to that which has been revealed, and vindicate, O Lord, in this last hour. For surely, Lord, we do not want to add to the gross darkness which is upon the face of the earth, or to cast a snare and a stumbling block to anyone, Lord, but rather to do all people good. And may those, Lord, who hear the message this morning, whatsoever form they hear it on tape or whatever, Lord, audibly now, may do them good, O God, and prepare for that great day, which we know this is an hour of preparation. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're continuing this morning, and I think this is the last message, number 21, on the anointed ones of the end time. And of course, Brother Branham was speaking from the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and he had this to say about the fact of the time of the presence and Elijah, that there shall, in verse 24, arise false Christs, even lying prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, I know that we could be prone to be very comfortable at this point and say, well, we've got it made. But if you notice the language, that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. So that puts you in a place where you must exercise discernment if you've ever exercised it before. And so you should, because your senses by now should be exercised unto righteousness so that you'd know what this is all about. You don't have to, like as I told you, a woman out there in Tucson saying, you should hear Mr. Swaggart because he's the closest to Brother Branham. How close is close? The lake of fire? Well, let's look at this thing. We're not here to bother anybody, to fight anybody, to throw ungodly punches, but the fact of the matter is, if there's a fact in the matter, and there was a prophet vindicator, where does it leave these people? Well, I'll ask you. Now, I'm supposed to be a very crude, hard-nosed, vulgar individual because a spade is a spade. Now, the Bible says utterly destroyed. Well, but don't listen. Now, how does anybody hear God? Through a prophet. Well, what am I supposed to do about it? How nice is nice? Look, if you want flattery, and I want flattery, this message is not the place to get it. I'm sorry. It's not the place to get it. All but the very elect. Not just elect now, but very elect. Which lets you know that the end time elect are not in any extra special position. As it says in 1 Thessalonians, we do not take any preeminence over anybody because we're the ones standing here that are supposed to go on living and never die. You don't take any preeminence. You're no hot shots. You're no big dice, no big wheels, no big nothing. You're just ordinary, and this warns you. Can you conceive of an elect preacher endorsing polygamy? Can you see an elect preacher over God's heritage wanting gifts established on the floor and wanting false anointed in to pray for the sick? Can you see a faithful shepherd opening his pulpit to just anything because he wants to be nice? We had that in Memphis. Blew the whole works. Ever so mad in my life. One thing just went one place to another place. Why? Brother, sister, this is not a time to be nice. This is a time to be righteous. And niceness doesn't have a thing to do with it. The fruit of the Spirit will be there. But I want you to find one word in the Bible that says niceness. I believe we all ought to be nice in the sense that we're not necessarily, you know, causing ripples. You know, Dr. Price one time preached a sermon. And he preached it on the fact he went to a great gallery, an art gallery. And he saw two pictures, both entitled Peace. And one was a beautiful pond, like a mill pond, reflecting beautifully serenity, everything so calm and so nice. The next picture down the way, somewhere in the building, or fast beside it, could have been right beside it, was a little mother bird sitting on a nest right by a roaring cataract with the water tumbling. Oh, what a frenzy of activity. And she sat on those eggs with real peace and serenity in her eyes. And both were titled Peace. And a man standing there said, this one is not peace. This is stagnation. Speaking of the pond, he said, this is peace. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. So, beloved, we are not given to stagnation. And we are not given to pleasantries. And we are not given to glossing things over. Though with an adversary who will not believe, you had better backpedal and get out of there in a hurry. You have no truck and trade with the infidels. To tell any man twice is sufficient, or you denigrate the gospel of God and rob it of its strength. One does not have to be foolish and think he is wise. The very elected. Behold, I've told you before. So therefore, if at the time of the presence and Elijah, anybody says, now listen, it would be, what's the matter with you people? Can't you bend a little and just come over here and see this? No! Well, you say, well, then you're not courteous. Fact. You don't know what courtesy is. You're stupid. You think you're smarter than Eve. Shilly-shally, dilly-dally with the devil? You got to be sick. He's in the desert. The secret chamber. Come in here when our fine brethren have come together and decided. That's why I am not for preachers' meetings, period, unless they're exactly as Brother Branham said. And he said, the last thing you do is talk doctrine. If you got time. You talk mutual problems. How to solve them by the word. Sustain each other if you're low. Give each other a moral build-up. That's what he said to preachers. Then if you got time. Yes. Well, you see what I'm talking about. All right. Last Wednesday we noted that in this message we were seeing the omega of the alpha doctrine of the two vines, or the twins, righteousness and unrighteousness, true prophet and false prophets, etc., that lined up, because this is the end time message. Now, of course, you know the two vines, you understand the twins, but do you remember righteousness and unrighteousness at the time of Cain and Abel? In other words, you are looking at the refusal of the true revelation and the continued worship of God in a false revelation, which the theologians call worship in self-will. Nice title, very good, but they didn't get it right. It's unrighteousness. Oh, the devil is careful with the theologians so they don't get the good words in there. Oh, worship in self-will. Unrighteousness. You're dead. You're in danger of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Not just in danger, but quite likely walk out of this life into eternal destruction. We don't deal with pretty words here. Righteousness is to worship God according to revelation. And the worship of God apart from revelation, though it be ever so wonderful, is unrighteousness with God. Unrighteousness is not you committing adultery on your wife, although many will call it that. That is the product of your unrighteousness. As Brother Branham said, smoking is not sin. It is actually the product of unbelief. The sin is unbelief. All right. We noted then on Wednesday the Alpha, the Omega of the Alpha, which we have seen in this doctrine of the end time. We saw the harvest of the tree of life and the tree of death, or knowledge of good and evil. Cain was a good example of the knowledge of good and evil because he took that which was good and perverted it, making it no longer good. But we saw the harvest of the tree of life and the tree of death being reaped in this end time, in this race of mankind. You heard what I said. Listen again. In Brother Branham's sermon, The Anointed Ones of the End Time, we were made aware of and therefore spiritually saw the harvest of the tree of life. In other words, the truth of it. And the tree of death, the knowledge of good and evil, being reaped in this end time in all mankind. Now listen, and we'll go into this thoroughly later on. The tree of life was there for one thing. What was it? Immortality. Immortality. What it was there for. Its purpose, the purpose of God. Whatever that is, we'll look at it. We saw the faithfulness of God made clearly visible by the faithlessness of man. The faithlessness of man. In other words, man constantly turning down God seven for seven church ages and all ages. In that God by grace is allowing man access to the tree of life and immortality, the opening of the seven seals, in spite of the whole world going after the beast. All right, in a time of utter pollution, utter folly, we see grace and the message of grace coming to us. We paid special attention to one of the highlights of the message when we looked in Luke 21:25-28, which has to do with the picture on the wall to your right, the ring of angels. We want to talk about it again because I'm a little afraid if I asked you a question this morning, you might know the answer, but you'd go all around it until you got to it. So we're going to hit it very hard again. 25-28, and there should be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth. These do not follow necessarily chronologically or in any particular sequence. Distress of nations with perplexity. Ha! You don't believe the nations are perplexed? Oh, we've been doing our dead level best to get to the Russians, and they couldn't even see us. And we knew they were ahead of us. And a little bird flies a plane in from West Germany. Nobody could spot it. So they fire the two top guys in Russia. Hallelujah. The word of God never fails. This world deserves what it's going to get, brother, sister. And if you and I get it, just praise God. I don't think we're going to get it, but if we should, just praise God. We got it coming. Stupid is what stupid does. They think they can forget God and make some big show of it. Oh, come on. Perplexity. What if they did bug our embassy? Who needs it? They'll never catch the stealth if we get it ready in time. Nobody's smart anymore. Nobody's smart. They just think they're smart. The powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, Brother Branham categorically said in this message, that ring of angels, which formed the wig and the beard of Jesus Christ, centrally in there, is what this is talking about. Now, what we want to look at is this, 27 and 28. And when they shall, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then you, who are not in this class up here, but living amongst it, lift up your heads, of course, rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, categorically, Luke 1:27 Luke 1:27, was the seven mighty messenger angels, all of whom were embodiments of the Holy Spirit, with Christ in the midst, appearing out in Arizona near Wilcox. We have the picture of it. Now notice carefully, verse 28. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Therefore, this appearance, this appearing of the Son of Man, visibly as was taken by camera and seen by multitudes, is a sign or a signal to us that the tree of life, or Malachi 4:2, the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And 1 Thessalonians 15:51, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we're all going to be changed to immortality. And Revelation 22:14, to approach the tree of life and become immortal. And 1 Corinthians 15:20-23, which is the presence of the Lord, and at that time the resurrection of the dead. And 1 Thessalonians 4:16, which is the descent, or the appearing, the shout, which is a message, and so on. And in John 5:24-25, which is the Son of Man involved in the resurrection of the dead. And John 11:25, which is, those in the graves will come out, and those now living will never die. See? This is going on now, and the literal resurrection and our change is, according to this verse, at that sign is near. Now notice, let's read a little further. It is so close as to fulfill Luke 21:29-33. And he spake a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise you, when you see all these things come to pass. But the major one is this one. That's your sign. Because that's the evidence of the days of the Son of Man. See? That's telling you what this has been all about. And we know only after the fact. We do not know before the fact. We can only surmise before the fact. It is after the fact we know, because God interprets His Word by manifesting it. Now, if that's true, that's true. And you cannot sit around and say, well, let me tell you what's going to happen. Now, that's okay for a little tiny gift of prophecy. It may get you somewhere. When it comes to this Word, that's a different thing entirely. Notice. The kingdom of God is at hand. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And it tells you, there are some in this generation. At what age, I don't know. I don't know. But this generation cannot pass away till every single thing be fulfilled, which is the great tribulation and the establishment of the kingdom of God upon earth in a millennium. Now notice what it says here. It is not the literal. Rather, this is not a cloud of angels with Christ that is the rapture. Now many people want to make that the rapture. They make 1 Thessalonians 4:16 the rapture. It is not the rapture. It's the conditions preceding the rapture. So this is not the rapture. But this signifies that the rapture is right in your generation, because you cannot go in that rapture unless you are immortalized. Now, it is not the second coming. It is absolutely not Christ coming back to this earth. Absolutely not. So it is not the second coming. It is not the rapture. It is not the descent to the earth. It is none of those things. What is it? It is a sign that the resurrection of the righteous is in this hour, as well as our change to immortality. Now, that's what this is all about. And that's what I want you to understand. It is not the rapture. It is not the second coming. It is not your immortality.
It is the sign of it. The evidence that this is that hour. Now, do you think the world's going to pay any attention to that? Hogwash. Look. Based on what we know of Scripture, what man always does with the things of God, let's ask ourselves the question. The wise men that came to seek out the Christ, and the scribes, and no doubt the Pharisees, could say to those wise men, well, I'll tell you where he is. He's got to be down there in Bethlehem of Judea, because that's exactly where he's supposed to be born. Oh, they knew that. But how convenient it was to forget that they directed the wise men there, and they themselves turned down the one that was born there, that was king of the Jews. Now, they were one people in one place. They were studiously looking for these things. You show me Christianity in one place studiously looking. With all the pooled resources of their knowledge. Hogwash. You've got hundreds of organizations, cults and sects and God knows what, and we're one of them, all pulling every different direction. No more pooling our knowledge than nothing. The only thing they're pooling these days is their ecumenical bliss, which is going to lead them right into complete destruction, because to become ecumenical, they must give away more and more and more till they give it everything away and they got nothing but damnation. You know that as well as I do. That's the truth. It is a sign that the resurrection of the righteous is in this hour, as well as our change of mortality. The Son of Man coming in clouds of glory is the witness to the hour of the Son of Man being revealed. This is part of the revelation of the Son of Man. So make no mistake about it. This is the appearing. This is the appearing. This is Christ coming more and more and more into visibility until he's seen by a photograph. Here over here, the same thing. This is the appearing that Brother Branham spoke of. Here is where we differ from all the other believers who call themselves Christians. The appearing is not the rapture. They say it is, but it isn't. The appearing is a space of time before the rapture. And this signifies you are in that space of time now getting ready. And the only readiness wherein you are not ready is the revealed word of Almighty God. When you begin to examine what Brother Branham set forth as to conduct and order, he set forth very, very little. There was little to correct. But the word needed correction very desperately. It is only by understanding this space of time, before the resurrection, your change, and mine in the rapture. It is only by understanding the true appearing, and this is part of it. This is what we see visibly. I say it's only by understanding this that we can fathom Ephesians 1:17-23. And we all know exactly what that is. That's when the Spirit of God comes into the church to give a revelation of the knowledge of Him, to open the eyes of our hearts, our souls, to know certain information that we must know relative to the hope of His calling. The riches of the glory of His inheritance. And at that same time, the power of God is loosed to bring about a resurrection. So therefore, this is a sign of the approaching resurrection. Absolutely cannot be changed. To understand this is to understand Revelation 10:1-7. Where the mighty messenger comes down with the rainbow. The same one that you saw in Revelation 4:5. Sitting on the throne with a rainbow over his head, came down on earth, God himself, to speak to a prophet, to speak upon earth, because the thunders were upon earth, and to bring forth the truth at the end time where everything runs out. You have to see this to see Luke 17:20-30, because it speaks of the kingdom of God. The two go together. It is the appearing. It is the days of the Son of Man revealed upon earth. They came and said, when's the kingdom going to come? And he said, the kingdom is going to come, but you won't be able to see it. There'll be plenty of evidence, but you can't figure it. No, you won't be able to do it. Now look, back there, theology and nationalism was a great stumbling block. Today, it is head knowledge. It's your scientist. And the whole aggregate of so-called facts that they try to marshal to destroy the truth. He said, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And he said, the days will come when you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you, this generation, shall not see it. Because they're going to see him die and rise again, but they won't see him come back in a ministry. And they shall see here, or see there. Don't bother going looking, because you will have already seen it and understood it. So when you see and understand, you don't go looking. So therefore, if any of your brothers and sisters in this church, or any of your friends in this message, are out there looking for something, you better believe this, they don't know this message. They're not part of it. And if any of you people here today, you got a wandering spirit, you got to run around and taste this and that, you better forget coming here, because I can't do you any good. Because you won't believe me. She said, you got to hear you, Brother Bill. No, you don't got to hear me, but you better sit somewhere. Get your roots planted down. Because I'm not pastoring jackrabbits. Sheep follow a shepherd. Until I give you cause to... Did you stop listening? You better be here listening. Because that's the only way I can be responsible for you. On judgment day, I will be responsible. Whether I want to or not. Don't go looking here and there. Now, if you're not satisfied, you better go looking. It's more than your privilege. I'll help you do it. Pay your bus for anything else you want. Not being facetious to tell you the truth. You want it, I'll help you. But you got to settle down. You don't go running here and running there. Turn on your TV if you got one and say, hey, I'm going to look at Swagger. I'm going to look at this and the other thing. They haven't got a thing for you, brother, sister, except death. That wasn't the truth, you wouldn't be here. You'd be someplace else where it's far more academic and far more pleasurable. See? Don't follow. Tells you what here. You look for light. The same light in Israel. What was the light? Well, what was the light? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we go back to 1 John. The first chapter. And in there he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, you can't hear spirits. Which your eyes have seen, you cannot see spirits. Which we have looked upon, you can't look upon spirits. Which your hands have handled, you can't handle spirits. Of the word of life. For the life was manifested. Now, in him was light. I'll be preaching on that again, just so we won't say much this morning. And that life was spirit. Just as Adam and Eve were. So God fabricated from protein, from the elements of the earth, that body that could manifest them. And because it was simply the clothing and the formulation of material from that spirit, that was Adam, that was Eve. So therefore, when you saw Jesus, you saw him who is God. If you do not believe that I am, you are dead, dead, dead. Now, it says that light was the light of men. What they handled, what they saw, what they looked upon, what they listened to. In other words, that visible man. What he did and what he said was light. So therefore, if God should desire to repeat the days of the Son of Man, all he needs is a body. Who will be the body? Well, I said the great ecumenical president and pope dropped dead. You're twice dead now, plucked up by the roots. You even suggested, let God send his man. What will that man be, a prophet? So what we're looking at. See, this is exactly what we see here. Let's go back to Luke 17 again, because we were reading here. We don't have to keep reading it, but this is a favorite portion of Scripture, because you see, this is life. This is where we're living. All right. the light comes to the earth. The same manifestation. That's why Brother Branham continually said, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he will now do in the form of the Holy Spirit here in this building what he did when he was here in the flesh on this earth, and it was done every single time. That's why I said this morning, you don't need to worry about healing a special message, a special anything. This is your healing. All you got to do is believe it. This is the greatest thing in the world. You got the greatest demonstration to base your faith on the world's ever seen. Now it says he's going to suffer and be rejected in this generation, so it's another generation that's going to see this repeat. God in human form, as the prophet said. God in a prophet. God using another body. See, okay. What's it going to be like? The days of Noah. That's when it comes back. The days of Lot. That's when it comes back. Just before fire and brimstone hit. That's when it comes back. And at that time, there'll be a separation. Number one, in Matthew 24, by the word. Number two, by a rapture. So therefore, this here is separating time. Here is the judge. Here is the king. He said, I'm going to gather my own. This is the great gathering for the Exodus. And it's done the way God always does it. He does it by a prophet. And don't let your minds go into a funk at this time and weasel out on you. Because that word prophet, you're thinking too much of men like William Branham. God is his own prophet. Jesus was a prophet. The prophet died upon Calvary. The same one is immortal out there. He's just a multiplicity of offices. And the great office is the great prophet. But we've been taught so much about Savior, Savior, Lamb, Lamb, this, that, and the other thing, that we have gotten a very weak revelation of the Lamb and the Savior. Right? Because we don't understand prophet. And you got to understand more than just Savior and this and that. Because let me tell you, it says at the end time, when the Spirit comes into the church to tell the church, the question is this, who will be the voice of the Spirit? There you are. So, this is resurrection vindication. Right around the corner. Right in this minute, it's come up. So, never forget what we're looking at. This is not the rapture. This is not the second coming. This precedes the rapture. This is Christ coming more and more into his church for a total rejection. So that if you're in the church, you're lost. You're one of them. Oh, the Pentecostal sing, I'm so glad that I am one of them. Well, I sung it as a kid. We sing it now in the right way. But they sing it, they're one of the ecumenical boys and don't even know it. They're caterwauling and claiming they don't have a part in it. They got the Roman Catholic baptism, my brother and sister. And the one that's got an erroneous understanding, they're Jesus only. But there's a bride somewhere that's got the truth. By his grace we're parted. That's point number one. Another high point in this message, it is that the Alpha Omega of the seventh seal, that is the Alpha and Omega of the seventh seal revelation, because it's got to happen to have an Alpha if it's going to be an Omega. You cannot find something in Revelation that's not in Genesis. Now that's that. Now let's understand that. Because you can't add or take two. Take from. It is the Alpha and Omega of the seventh seal under which the seven thunders is. The seven thunders on the seventh seal. Notice the scripture. So let us go back to it. Genesis, the third chapter. A lot of this is repeat but additional because we want to nail it down. Because if I don't feel happy about something that isn't nailed down, I'm going to preach until I'm happy. And that means if you're unhappy, that's your tough luck. Because by this time, you should really be thoroughly understanding. I don't want to be hard on anybody. That's just the way I say things. Look, 22 beginning. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. He put him right out of the government of God to till the ground from whence he was taken. He wasn't taken out of the ground of Eden. Let's get that flat. The Lord, because this is God's headquarters. Only Jesus was the Lord of heaven. You bet. So he drove the man out and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, which meant he could not get near there. Now, look at here. We got to understand something here. from this scripture, we realize 100% that the purpose or reason that God had the tree of life in the Garden of Eden was to bestow immortality. Right? Right. Anybody not see that? It's clear as a bell. Says it right here. Why, he said, if he gets to that tree of life, he'll become immortal. So the tree of life was placed there so that he could become immortal. So now it's removed from that time slot to another time slot. Because you've got to admit, even by reasoning, and reasoning is not fallacious. It's not fallacious if you are spiritual minded. Man was always meant to live forever in a beautiful state of eating and drinking and building and sowing and reaping and loving every split second for trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions to infinity of seconds. You ever found a time when you hated to go to sleep, it was just so great, or hated to wake up because it was just so great, or didn't want to quit eating because it was just so great? You just didn't want to stop something? Well, this is going to be everything beyond your imagination or your capability of even suggesting something to yourself now that's going to go on, and you'll never get enough. Won't be any shoe fly pineapple pandelion. That's about all the world thinks of and all the world's going to get. We're going to have something eternal. Because, you see, we were basically a part of God. And that will never be satisfied until you basically get exactly what God gave Jesus the Christ, which was a glorified, perfect body. You can't, brothers and sisters. You can't stop short of it. And this is what we're looking at. The purpose of God. And it got sealed up under the seventh seal when God came down like a thunderbolt. Said, Adam, where are you? Cut the whole thing back. Put it completely under lock and key. But did not throw the key away, because he said, I've got the key of life and death. And I control the gates of hell. Sure did. Okay, let's go then to the purpose of God. We go to the book of Ephesians. And I won't worry about taking all the message this morning, because I'm not going to cover it. Ephesians. First chapter. We begin reading. Third verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, according as hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us who was in him to a physical being. Predestination deals with the physical. Foreknowledge deals with the blueprint. Election deals with the material. Predestination puts it together and delivers it. In love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Now, a lot of people don't understand anything about the Greek. They want to tell you we were poor little children out in the world. Our father was the devil, but God came by and adopted us. A lot of hogwash. You ever heard such junk? It means you're going to be placed where you're supposed to be placed. Where? In the garden immortal. Because that was the purpose of God. The purpose of God was Adam to get to the tree. And he blew it. Right? 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 Okay, that's good. Glad you're getting. Having predestined us in love to the placing of children by Jesus Christ to himself and by himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. This is the history of how you get there, having fallen, that's all. Wherein he's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, and there's a great big wisdom in our day that comes up in the 17th verse. And if you leave that out, you ain't got all wisdom. If you leave that out, you ain't going to make it. If you leave that out, no dead are going to come out of the ground for this age, or any other age, since the others rose up. And there won't be any complete family or anything else. So, wisdom. And prudence, having made known unto the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself. Now the mystery of his what? Not the mystery of we're going to be immortal, that we're going to take of the tree of life. The mystery is how we're going to be able to do it. How's it going to be done? As Brother Branham said, we know what, we don't know how. On a tape. That, in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Well, he's got a time set. What's he going to do? Gather together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, and which are in earth, even him. In other words, there's going to come the perfect climax of God's divine blueprint. Yep. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. In other words, now, there's something in here, in the purpose of God, which was to get us to the tree of life, that's going to go beyond it. Things that are in his own counsel, not yet revealed. In other words, we've got a revelation to a stopping place, which is a jumping off place. And we're getting there. And this is what it's all about right there. The anointed one's the end time, so you don't get euchred out of what you got coming to you. So nobody can entice you. That we should be to the praise and glory who first hoped in him. Now let's go to Ephesians, the third chapter. And in there we read verses 8 to 12, I do believe. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from before times eternal hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. He tells you right here, God is going to do something in the bride that's going to let everything that ever was and will be know exactly what God had in his mind and what he wanted. Now that's yours and mine. And this lets you know that you're getting mighty close, brother, sister. Mighty close. Because your redemption is a part of purpose. Redemption is not purpose. Purpose transcends redemption. Your redemption, brother, sister, you don't get just changed to a sit there just like a bunch of loonies while it's done. Man, you're just getting started. This is a little training period. And this is a little faith period. See? To let you know. All right. What God had in mind was to get this fantastic, glorified family. See? Now, let your minds go, and I'm not going to preach it. Zoe. Let your minds go. Zoe. See? Okay. Now, having read Genesis and this then is 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you mystery. We'll not all sleep, we're all going to be changed in a moment. Take now at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise up, and we shall be changed. In other words, what stopped with Adam is now available. That's what God wanted for Adam to get him to the place where he would take him further. But Adam blew it. But God, in allowing it, which gives him the opportunity to show forth what he can and will do in and through and for mankind. And mankind allowing it and going through it. God will now give him what man could not imagine if he lived a trillion years to figure it out. So you see, you're just getting really into the purpose now. Because why? The tree of life is here for the first time in the 2,000 years. Actually, to get where we're going and where the tree wants us, 6,000 years. Because it was the tree of life that raised those dead, but couldn't make the present immortal. Oh, it could have had wanted it, but it would have spoiled it. And God's not in the spoiling business. So what's he doing now? He is giving us the tree of life that we can avail ourselves by eating this word. Eating, you're not living on the words of man. You're living or eating on the body word of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it's putting on an inner garment wherein you are changing in the very structure, I would say, of your soul, particularly, and your spirit. Mind renewing, feeding more and more until the atoms have come to a place where they not only can change, they must change. You can say what you want, but that's what it says. Look up, your redemption draws nigh. This generation shall not pass away. So what I think maybe somebody else ought to have it. You better start smartening up. You're the ones that's going to have it. And to try to pass it on as though you were humble is not humble at all. You're stupid. And notice I said that quietly and nicely. Doesn't go here. Okay. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised in incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptibility must put on incorruptibility, and this mortal must put on immortality. At that time death is swallowed in a victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. It is appointed unto man once to die. Why? Because of sin. But now he can't die. Well, who did it? Judge told you about it. Judge proved it. See, you are looking at a proven thesis. That's why you don't run. You don't add. You don't take. Now, I know that everybody doesn't teach. There's God has sent prophets, wise men, scribes. He sent a prophet with the word. He sent a fivefold ministry to delineate and give it to you. And he sent those that can simply just quote what the prophet said or simply read it. But it's good enough. But I tell you, you can have what you need and you're getting it. This then is also Revelation 22 and 10. Now listen. Let's look at it. 22 and 10. Let's restart. And he said, me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now the book was sealed up in chapter 10 and verse 4. So here it's unsealed. See? Okay. Now, only God can unseal the book. He, now at this time when it's unsealed, now what was sealed up in the garden? The tree of life. What does the breaking of a seal do? It looses what's under it. Brother Branham said Christ was those seals. Not the seven seals written on the book. It's what was contained therein. So God loosed himself from the obligation of keeping people from immortality. So now, God and man have an obligation, which is eternal, to get to the tree. God's got to get us to the tree, and we got to see we get to the tree. Because this is the hour. How are you going to do it? Well, you got to have somebody help you. How has God ever done it? The prophet. People simply will not believe that. That's why I said a while ago, if you denigrate Jesus Christ to the place of a lamb, or a shepherd, or a savior, or a this, or a that, and say, but not prophet, you're gone. You're finished. I'm just telling you the truth, you're finished. Because that's what they did in Israel. They would not receive him as the prophet that Moses spoke of. Well, they said the guy's got a pretty fair gimme. He's linked up with something. But is he that man? No, he is not that prophet. Now listen to me, brother, sister. You get your Bibles when you get home. And you trace everything through that you can. And I'm going to tell you what you're going to find before you trace it through. You're going to go back and you're going to find the seed of the woman in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, I believe it is. Or 3, you're going to find it there. From that time on, it's going to be prophet, 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 prophet. You look for yourself. You'll find a little smidgen of hint now and then when God reveals himself to the people that he is Jehovah complete. Every facet of redemption lies in him. You'll find many things. But brother, sister, the key is prophet. For he is the prophet Messiah. He is the prophet Savior. He is the prophet Lamb. And he is the prophet right now. God is his own prophet. And remember, the prophet has everything to do with judge. And remember, prophet is son of man. It's linked to the human race, period. The things that Brother Brown had taught us are not in vain. It's just been a long time getting to us. At this time, he that's unjust will remain unjust. He that is filthy cannot be cleansed. He that is righteous cannot be unrighteous. No way, no shape or form. He that is holy cannot ever get unholy. It's over, it's done, it's finished, that's it. That's white throne. Urgency. Nobody wants to believe urgency. Dilly dally, shilly shally. Won't work. Behold, now he said, at this time, you better look out because I'm going to come pretty quick one of these days. Yep. I'll be coming in the rapture. I'll be descending down there. And the Spirit that's in the midst of you now will become incarnate to you. And he'll take you up there before the incarnation. And when he's incarnate, you're crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now he said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. And I'm trying to show you something here. Go back to the book of Genesis and see where the tree of life is and what it's all about. It's immortality. God wants to get you there. From that point, God will take you anywhere. Now notice, blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates to the city, because without there's nothing but dogs. That's male prostitutes. That's your bunch of preachers. You notice that that they say that this guy, Jimmy Baker, had a procurer that got about $750,000 a year for procuring. Put all the preachers together that procure. Pimps. Pimp preachers. Bakers take his fiddlesticks along of the billions the church has taken in for years for being procurers for the harlot systems. Take a good look at it, brother, sister. There's nothing today that doesn't type. There's nothing in your newspapers that doesn't type. Check your own lives. Come on, get personal this morning. I dare you to be personal with yourselves. Check your own lives. Find out. No problem. It's there. You might come up with some pretty swill things. S-W-I-L-L. You might come up with some pretty swell S-W-E-L-L things, too. You may look back and you wonder how God allows you to have a heart that you didn't have before. Because you sowed for it. And you sowed in a way you didn't even know that you sowed. I can tolerate things today that never could I take them before. And I look back and I see their roots in a little simple thing. A little kindness done somewhere. And it began to come back. You know what? A mushroom can lift literally a ton of concrete to get to the sun. A life lies in there that is blessed of God, that any object can be lifted if you just let yourself go. I'm trying to teach you over a long period of time some of these things. I want you to know them because your life depends upon them. The very things that you want in this life will come to you if you sow, but you got to sow right. Remember years ago, there's a friend of mine, his brother had married a woman that was an alcoholic. They had a terrible existence. And he said to his brother, he said, Hobson, I sure wish I had a wife like yours. Well, he said, I'll tell you one thing. I didn't get mine on the bar stool. I'm just letting that go as a little illustration, brother, sister. There's a lot to life here. There's a lot that you can get outside of sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, they're the worst of the worst. And he said, I, Jesus, have sent my prophet to testify to these things to the churches. Because the prophet had talked to John. Don't understand everything, but there it is. So, we're looking at that. All right. Now listen. We're looking at that seal that was clamped on immortality, and believe me, when it did, that seal sealed everything. See, all right. It was one man, Adam, who had the only true revelation of God's word when sin entered. Listen carefully. There was only one man, that was Adam, ordained to God, who had God's true revelation of the word when sin entered. And when the twins came to light, Cain and Abel, only one had a true revelation, not anymore. And there will only be one man at the end with the true revelation of Malachi 4. That's all. He's Alpha and Omega, isn't he? Okay, how's he going to end the age? He started the age, he blotted out the tree of life, one man, and he blew it. At the end, then, there'll have to be one man who won't blow it. And Brother Branham said, I will take to my grave. And he did. Whatever that's his business. But he never blew it. Listen carefully. It is just like Noah in the flood. Only one man had the revelation. The rest had to seek to it. And he was the only perfect man, which means genetically perfect. The only true human being. So before this hour comes, there has to be one man and one man alone with the true revelation, that is a true servant that understands the true blood and the true spirit, the true word, even as Abraham, one man, stood there just before the fire fell. Because that's why Brother Branham said there's only one major prophet, and everybody gets thrown by the fact that there's somebody else in the scene. What I think Brother Branham should have said, let's face it, there is only one who is ever entrusted with a word like this. Because he himself said, Moses, Paul, William Branham. And you study Scripture. There is always one person who has a preeminence. When he went up there in the vision or transported, I don't know how, that's his business and God's business, the voice said to him, you were meant to be a leader. And he was. There's got to be leadership. Thus the great mystery of Elijah comes into view as to restoration. One person. It took only one man in the presence of God, right? In the presence of God to dislocate it all. So therefore, it will take only one man in the presence of God to relocate or restore. Well, come on. That or ain't, they got a... well, they got what we don't have, thank God. The proof of his ministry is vindication. He alone was vindicated. His word to the bride alone stands. Ephesians, the third chapter... and 10th verse, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, and that's the elevated places, your great theologians, the people are smart, and all of those things, by the church will be made known the manifold wisdom of God. Not these people here, but a little tiny group. It looks like a flat tire. Compare that with Ephesians 1:17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of me and the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge him. To the intent your eyes, his soul were enlightened. You know the hope of his calling. The riches of glory and inheritance days. To the end that you may be. To know. And that's physically know. The power of the resurrection. You yourself changed and taken up to glory. How many people are going to do it? You tell me. Therefore, anything then that follows this Elijah ministry is false. It is counterfeit and not a god. No matter how good it looks or who brings it. Galatians 1:6. I marvel you're so soon removed from him that called you into the gospel of Christ to another gospel, which is not another. In other words, there's only one gospel, so forget what you call a gospel. It's not even recognized. God had disrespect to Cain though it was a very wonderful offering. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, and let him be accursed. As we said before, so shall we now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. So Paul said, let me be accursed if I come and bring you something else. So you cannot add or take from it. Now listen, they will say in one group who claim to believe our prophet, William Branham, especially from Europe, did he cover this? How come he left this out? Why did he not explain this or put this together this way? After all, you see, we can read the Bible too. The big shot from Germany that said that, or almost identical to that, he criticized Brother Branham. He's got his PhD now at London University. Piled higher and deeper. That's all it is. The hogwash of man's intellect. What's it going to do for him? Preaching polygamy? Living in sin? Let me tell you something, brother, sister. Go out and start a religion like that. You can get any number. Talking comes to justify yourself. That's been done, too. The Way Organization came out of Ohio. You don't die of cirrhosis of the liver without drinking, usually. Trace, check the records. You foster sin. Go and open roots somewhere. Go with the ecumenicals. You'll have a following. How long will we be together? I don't know. I said many a time back yonder, I said, we got 92 seats by tomorrow morning. They'd go 92 different directions, but by the grace of God, they won't. We got 100 and some here now. By the grace of God, they won't. I don't know. But people don't want to hew the line to what Brother Branham taught in this message. I can't understand it. Others will say, he left out some things, and we're here to put them in. We have fresh manna. This kid from Virginia wrote me in, right at the very beginning of the tape. He let us know that Brother Branham was off the scene, and you know, there's something they were picking up. So his good buddy went back to Barnes. Barnes has been dead. His notes aren't all that great. I gave mine away. Well, they might be in the office, I don't know. Might be back in there, Barnes. I like them gave away like that, I don't know. What's for us? Dead manna. Brother, sister, they say they got fresh manna. Don't you believe it? They say we have the word for this hour. They don't have the word for this hour because they perverted it. All right? As usual, I'm going to just stop there because our time's gone. As far as I'm concerned, it's gone anyway. And I don't have time to take the last point, which is position the prophet where God put him and make sure you keep him there. Not as though I'm warning anybody. That's for all of us. See, brother, sister, we've got something that's too deep and too wonderful to just let go by the board. We've got something that's not casual anymore. It's life. And Brother Branham brought out that beautiful part of the psalm where he said, my soul pants after thee, O God, as a hart pants after the water brook. And he said, the wounded deer that's been wounded by the wild dogs, if he can just get to where the water is, he will live. And that's where we are today, brother, sister. We are there. We are in the pavilion of God if we place ourselves there by grace, believing we're fully elect, to let him cover us in the day of the destruction he preached concerning the rapture. We are living in critical times, but the critical time, my brother and my sister, I believe is going over everybody's heads because they're looking at every single solitary thing but the truth. And that is this. There was a couple of lovely people in the Garden of Eden. They were fine, fine people. She walked one day on her own away from her husband who had the word of God for her. And a very handsome, enticing person looked just like a man who could talk and converse with everything else. He simply seduced her and she fell for the seduction, the blandishments of it all. And now today we've got the very same thing. The Garden of Eden all over again. They look at the tree of the knowledge and it's beautiful. Look at it. Why? It's good for food. This is wonderful. And the tree of life stands there as a root out of dry ground. And there's no beauty that they want him. And they say, you bunch of cuff. That's all. Well, praise God. Praise God. If I'm presenting this message in such a way that you wanted because of sheer eloquence and sheer brilliance and sheer beauty and sheer wonder, there's something sheerly wrong with my sheer delivery. There is, my brother, my sister. Because it isn't that way except to the elect. Jesus does not look, the true Jesus does not look very beautiful to anybody outside the true bride. And the true bride does not look very beautiful to anybody but Jesus Christ. And let us say the fact that has been said before is only too true, though a man said it. And men often say the truth. Beauty lies in the eye of the beholder. And false beauty is only skin deep. True beauty is down in the heart. How is it that some people can look at some person whose features are the most irregular? And there's nothing there that would commend that person to any type of excitement when it comes to the natural, when you're looking for something beautiful in person. And yet there's something there that cannot be produced except by a soul that is in touch with God or a mighty element that's apart from man. It comes right down again to the picture that Dr. Price said. One was the mill pond that was glassed before the burnished sun. Not a leaf of the tree moved. Silence. But the roaring cataract,
And he flourished like the green bay tree. And he said, I was very sad in my heart till one day I considered the end of the wicked. And he said, I wouldn't go there for anything. I'd just be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord, then dwell in the tents of those wicked. And have you heard what that young, that Fod's son, they go out and they hunt in the desert, and they got tents, three tents that covers acres? That's what he's talking about. The billions the Arabs have, or one kid can have $1 million a week just to spend. Three big airplanes anytime he wants it. Jumbo jets. And David saw those birds out there, and he said, my, he said, I got pretty envious. I got pretty distressed. He said, I began getting myself worked up. But he said, I sat back one day, and I began to meditate, and I saw what their end is. Now, brother, sister, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the end of the purpose of God in this hour. And the message gone forth, watch out. Watch out. You're not as smart as you think you are. Because Eve, in innocence and the pristine purity of knowing only one thing, the things of God, the enemy came right in and said, hey, let me tell you all about it. And she died. And the world died with her. Tonight we're going to live. Because he lives, and he's living in our midst. I believe when we sing, he's here, I believe he's here with all my heart. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we know this is truth, O God, truth in the inner man. We know it's your truth that was demonstrated to us. And Lord, here we are hungering, not for another message, but for a reality that comes from this message in our hearts. So that we are so at home with it, and it with us, that we're walking and talking with the Lord of glory. He's molding our lives, and we are happy to see our lives molded. He is leading us minute by minute. We're happy to be led. Somehow, Lord, we just cannot cease hungering to be what the prophet said concerning himself. He said, I always do what I want. I always want to please him. Now, Lord, help us to just not come to the place of the want, because I suppose we're there and even past that. Help us now, Lord, to be to the doing of it. And we know there's the happiest place in all the world to know your voice and to walk step with step. And step by step in faith sometime, when we simply know your word and say, I believe this is exactly the way to walk because the word said so. Then we hear the voice behind us saying, that's right, this is the way. Walk ye therein, just keep walking. So, Lord, we know really what it's all about. We've got life within. We've got leadership behind, before, and all around us, if we'd only recognize it. Father, we're not serious enough. We're not sober enough. What's going to happen to make us that way? Will it be something like a thunderbolt bringing us to our senses, some cataclysmic thing, oh God?
some disorder which could be tragic amongst us, Lord God. What is it? I don't know. Sooner, Lord, all of us would say with that one who wrote the scripture, if you're going to chasten us in mercy, bring us up, but not in wrath, O God. Not because we have to have something to be whipped for, Lord, or whipped around, O God. But help us as sweet, dear, obedient children to just want more and more and more. O God, take the world out of our hearts and our minds. Take the throb of the universe away, Lord. Get us in touch with Him who is Logos, with Him who is the true Zoe, set in this cosmos which He owns because He made it, until we're an integral, living, throbbing part of that kingdom, O God. Not just a part, but a living, throbbing part, Father. And Lord, maybe there's a big price to pay, and we're sort of looking out of our eyes cornerwise, hoping you don't hear us or do something about it. Father, take it all away. Whatever is wrong, take it all away. God, strip it all away somehow. As prophet said, that old nature be annihilated. We're asking this, Lord, not just because we want it, not to do something with it, Lord, to be somebody, but actually, Lord, to know that we're just one with You in this, walking and talking. And some things are coming out the way You want them to come out. And we're serving You and others as You'd like it to be. That's what we're thinking about. And we'll give You the honor and glory. Go with us, Lord. And may, as the prophet always said, take this message reading. May there not be one feeble or sick one amongst us, O God. May we begin to believe that as never before. And in love, see it in every single person until that sweet Spirit manifests moment by moment, day by day. Because, Lord, we're going on. We're going higher and higher. By the Spirit of God, transformed by that word, we give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.